you're a visitor, that's fine. We'd love to have you. Every morning, come. Please come. Let's all turn to page number 201, page number 201 in our hymnal. Sing about that great grace. Let's turn to page 201. If you found your place, let's all stand together, please.
Thank you. We talk about that grace, we sing about that grace, and then we receive that grace and praise Him for it. Good to see everyone in the house of the Lord tonight on a messy, rainy day. It could be worse. It could be sleeting and snowing and icy and all that. So we got a lot to be thankful for. We're going to come and give God honor and glory and praise and thank Him for everything good just like it is. Brother David, if you'll come, please. Appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be here. Thank God for the service we had this morning. The Lord ministered to us in this place, and He is still the same Lord on the same throne. We're His people. We expect Him to minister to us tonight. Let's be willing to receive and accept His conditions. Let's repent of all our sins. Acknowledge Him who He is. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another blessed day that You've let us been blessed with. Thank You for all the health and strength that You've given each one of us and allowed us together once again. Thank You for the privilege and the place that You've set aside for us where we can come and gather. And we thank You for the freedom and liberty that we still have that we can come. Thank You for the message that we heard today. Thank You for all that You've done for us, but Lord, we are burdened about those about us that are lost, that don't know You as Lord and Savior, and they're just being blinded seemingly more and more every day by Savior. We just ask You to some way touch their hearts, quicken their mind, help them to realize that they're on the wrong road. Help us to be greater witnesses for You, every chance we get, that we would speak to them and ask them about their eternal destiny. Ask You now to be with us and further to the service. Thank You for the brief message and the one that will be standing before us tonight. I pray that You just give him the freedom and liberty spiritually that he needs to deliver that which You've got for us, and we'll thank You for all You do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother David.
Now the world might tell us that there's many ways to get to God, so to speak. But the Bible tells me in one place, it says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said to Thomas. Another place it says, seek out the old paths. There you'll find rest for your souls. That's what this first song says. I'm going to seek the old highway.
Satisfaction more than we dream. They abide with things that please the eye.
Page 72. Did it all for me. Song I was thinking that we were going to sing. I'm sorry. Let's turn to page number 11. I'm sorry. I think that's only my fourth mistake today. So. Page number 11.
Save a poor life.
number 5.
Thank you.
before the song service, his special anointing. We're so thrilled and happy to have Brother David Youngblood and Miss Tammy and the kids back with us. Of course, when they left here, the kids were just little, and they're all grown up now. Some of them even got little ones themselves. Isn't that great? So, Brother David, you're home. Come back up here, please, and he's going to have his family come up and sing, I believe. And whatever the Lord puts on your heart, brother, that's what you're going to do.
Well, amen. It's good to be in Fletcher First Baptist again. And good to be home. As Pastor Roy said, we consider this as our home. And born and raised here. And the Lord has been good to us every step of the journey. Amen. And let me say, first of all, appreciate this church and your pastor and all that's involved in what goes on around here. I know there's a lot, and but we appreciate you and being willing to pray for us and support us financially and prayerfully, most of all. But we thank you for investing in the ministry in Kiana, Alaska, and couldn't do it without you. Amen. God uses you and other churches like you to help fund the way and help us stay where we're at and do what we're doing. And God's doing great things, and I want you to know you've got a big part of that. And we appreciate you investing in the ministry there in Kiana, Alaska. And we are trying to report to all our churches and those helping us. And it's been a busy time since we've been here right before Christmas. And but I was anxious to get here, and I'm glad we're here tonight. And I've got a few pictures I could show you if y'all want to. Take a few moments to look at that. I'll run back and we'll put those pictures on the screen there. And they said I could just go back there and click them while I talk and all that. So that's going to be, I'll just talk while I walk. How's that? Amen. But I do say we appreciate each one of you again and again. Can't say that much as enough here tonight. And let me see if I can get back here. Working? All right. Of course, when we first went to Alaska about 10 years ago, we started on an itinerant ministry to fill in for different preachers and pastors in the villages in the remote Alaska. Did that for a few years, and God opened the door here in the village of Kiana, where it was vacant for about 3 years, and we've been there for about 4 years now. This June, we'll be there 4 years, planted to the Baptist Church there, and God's doing great things. I want to show you a few things He's been doing and what He's been doing. But everybody may not know us or remember us here. The pictures there on the screen now has got Makaya, who's not here with us tonight. She's actually in Fairbanks, Alaska, University of Alaska, Fairbanks, and she's working on her bachelor's degree in nursing. She's 20 years old, and we're going to miss her in the village and have been missing her, as she's been a big help there in the village. But we still have Micah, who's 16 years old, and he's with us here tonight, and he's a junior in high school, and of course a tremendous help in every need in the ministry he's involved in. And I appreciate Micah, my youngest son. Then there's Jacob, and he's no longer in the village with us, but he's living here in Fletcher with his wife Holly, who's sick tonight. Remember her in your prayers. And he also is living here with our first grandbaby, Elizabeth, and she's here tonight also. That's hard to believe that we're grandparents, amen. But and just got the news, we have a grandson on the way due in August. So it's been a blessed reunion getting to come back home and hear this and see the grandbaby. And God's just good all the time, amen. And then, of course, Tammy, my wife, the bride of my youth for 34 years in June, she's doing well. And but in despite of an eye disease she's been diagnosed with, and it'll eventually lead to blindness due to vessels in her eyes that rupture. And then not to mention the scar on her eye, many of you know about, as she left her unable to read and see clearly from her left eye. But she's still a vital part of the ministry, and of course I couldn't make it without her. And I love her very much and appreciate her willingness to be part of the call there in the village of Kiana. And okay, so to click ahead, I just go. think it's froze up. I've already broke it. There we go. Maybe we get going now. So the Village of Alaska, to tell you a little bit about it, it's located 30 miles north of the Arctic Circle. It's 90 miles east of Kotzebue in northwest Alaska. It's along the Kobuk and Squirrel Rivers. And is that going to work? What did you? Am I just not hitting it right?
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? So it's along the rivers there and the Squirrel and the Kobuk River. As you can see, that's the whole village you can see from there. And we have about 500 souls living there. And, of course, we have a public school. There's about three small stores. We have satellite TV. We have internet. We have 3G cell service. We even have our own liquor store, unfortunately. And pray against that thing. And there are two other churches in the village. There's a Friends Church, which is Quaker-based, and there's also a United Pentecostal work there. But, unfortunately, they add works to their salvation plan, which frustrates the grace of God. And the kind of... Oh, what's that one? That's what I'm doing. I can't talk and work. There we go. So that's the Baptist church on the right there up on the bluff above the river. And the church has been there for several years, but it was vacant for the last 3 years, and God opened that door for us to go in and start the work. And the winters in Kiana, the climax, of course, on December 21st, the shortest day of the year, we have about an hour of daylight, and temperatures still going down to 30 and 40 below zero with up to about 4 feet of snow. And it can be still cold up until the springtime comes. And the services in Kiana, this is inside the church there, we have four services on Sunday. We have a morning service, 11 a.m., and a 6:30 evening service. And our junior Sunday school is for ages 4 to 12, and if we have a teen time for ages 12 and up. And these are some pictures of some of the Sunday school times we've had. And one of our main projects this year is going to be taking the teen group to a camp called Rock Crossing Bible Camp, and be flying to Fairbanks, and then a bus ride for 4 hours, and then a boat ride down the Tanana River for about an hour to reach the camp. And it's a place where 1 week away from the village can change their life, and we're excited about getting some of these young teens out of Cayenne and to see what the Lord will do for them. We need to raise about $5,000 to make this a reality, and it's expensive doing anything going anywhere in remote Alaska. And but of course summertime comes quickly as it comes, and bringing about 24 hours of daylight and 70-degree temperatures. You can see all the snow melts and it turns green, and it's pretty amazing in the summers. And we also have what we call the King's Kids program, teaching kids memorizing Scripture and learning, it's explaining salvation, and been a great part there. A lot of participation, as you can see. It's a busy time there on Thursday nights at 5:30. We do the King's Kids program. And then one of our biggest outreaches is the ministry is Reformers Unanimous. And we are an official chapter there in the Village of Cayenne. And we meet every Friday night at 7 p.m. And this is the nation's largest faith-based addictions recovery program. And it's been amazing. We have, we've had six faithful students that have stuck with it since about 2016. And it's just a great discipleship course once you get into it. Teaching, of course, the first step to overcoming stubborn habits and addictions is, of course, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once that begins, then it's all possible after that. And it's been amazing watching this ministry go forth. It's, you know, the church is what we call the frontline ministry. We're up here doing what needs to be done to hold the fort, you know, and carry on for God's work here on the front lines. But this type of ministry goes deep into enemy territory and snatches them out, you know, from the devil's hands. And it's just doing a great work, and it's amazing seeing what God's doing with this. Here in this picture, it's a table. We celebrate the 4th of July there in the village, and we give out free popcorn and free candy and Kool-Aid, and, of course, the gospel's free to anybody coming by that wants to be a part of that. We're also involved with the the summer feeding program in Kiana. Every child can come eat lunch 6 days a week at the Baptist Church. We partner with the Food Bank of Alaska for this program. They pay the freight, and all the food is flown in to Kiana. And then after the kids eat, we open up what we call the Baptist Park. And it's really grown through the years, and it's another outreach. We let them play and have a good time. And last year we added a zip line to the trampoline. We have carpet balls and rope course and jungle gym, and just have a big time there beside the Baptist Church in the Baptist Park. Amen. We also started the TFAP program, and that's a temporary emergency food assistance program, working with the food bank. Last month we distributed 38 families. We gave out 113 whole chickens, and so that was a major event there in the village of Kiana. Also giving out canned chicken and pork and canned fruits and cheese and things like that. But it's a once a month distribution there at the Baptist Church. And pray for the Sutphin family, Michael and Kelly Sutphin. They're there filling in for us and carrying on all this work. So pray for them. Of course, there's some scenery there in summertime Alaska. And summertime, of course, means catching fish and stocking the freezer. We have sheafish, salmon, pike. And we do, of course, we clean them and can them and freeze them. And tastes good all year long. And then fall time brings, of course, hunting. And as fall comes, the moose and caribou come through. And we were able to, harvested this moose early in September. And Brianna, who's here with us tonight, I'll tell you more about them. It took all night to quarter it up and bring it down river about 15 miles. So the work begins when you drop one of these things. But we were blessed and got a lot of meat for the winter ahead. Of course, we have to process it all ourselves and freezer and canning some of the meat. And we give it away to our church people and sometimes a lot of needs throughout the village through the year. Also, of course, that's one of the views right off. That's the front. That's our front yard. So we're pretty blessed to have scenery like this all the time. We look out, and we are here. Here's a picture of how we haul our stove oil, so you understand. It's just heating oil, it's kerosene, and we use Toyo stoves in the church and in the house. And we also use wood to help with the heating costs, because stove oil is $6.50 a gallon, and gasoline is $6 a gallon, so it's a little bit expensive keeping things heated there in the village. But the firewood definitely helps offset that cost, and of course we give it out too as needs come up in the village. There's the village stores, so you understand some of the prices. A loaf of bread's $5, a dozen of eggs is $5, a gallon of milk is $12, a head of cabbage, if it's there, is $10. So the prices, are a little bit more than what we're used to around here, but it's what it takes, to live there. And of course, God supplied every need, every step of the journey. We were blessed, of course, last year y'all had a part from this church in getting our Suburban barged up there. You can see the picture in the middle, kind of hard to see up there, but they barged in the summertime up the river and put our Suburban in the Connex there, and we got it in the village. And I talked to Brianna before we left, and Bethany, they had 20 kids packed in the Suburban bringing them to Sunday school before we left there. So it's been used and used a lot. And we even were donated a snow plow in Fairbanks, was given to us. We were able to put it in the Suburban and barge it up with it. So it's about a necessity there, as Brother Sutphin's been plowing the road, the driveway down to the church, and keeping things cleaned up for us. And we're just blessed with that and appreciate this church being involved with that, giving over $4,000 to help barge that vehicle up there. And here's a picture of a dear family. We were saved about a year ago. And Jeanette Barr and her sons, and been a tremendous help to us there in the church, and we miss them. And opportunities in the village, have gotten to preach at graduation baccalaureate services, and of course our Sunday school is a big thrust of the ministry, every Sunday and working with them and dealing with them. And then I've been able to, had to preach a few funerals along the way. And we minister with Christmas plays and doing working with the kids and even in the other churches and putting on the village Christmas celebration there on Christmas Eve. And they do that and make a pretty big deal of it. And we've had our baptism there a couple of years ago and needing to have another baptism. The water does thaw out, and it's actually warmer than the Davidson River, believe it or not, when it gets to running. And so they swim, and you know, we can have baptisms there. And but it don't last long. It's just for a couple of months. And so we are blessed here in this. What a time we've had since we've been here in Kiana. And, of course, I think that's the final picture there. I'll leave that up. When I get up there, you can take it from there. Thank you. All right. Well, I appreciate you watching and listening to that. And we are blessed here tonight to have Bethany and Brianna Riley, two sisters from the village of Kiana. They were saved last year, and we praise the Lord for their willingness to want to follow the Lord and seek His will. And we were praying about it and wondering what they could do next, and they said, well, just come to Furlough with us, and brought them down here, and they're now enrolled at the Anchor Baptist Bible College, attending classes up there. So it's exciting. They're waiting on what the Lord's going to do with them, and they're just excited about learning and growing and like sponges taking in God's word. And it's just been amazing. And we appreciate y'all helping with that. And keep them in your prayers, if you would. I'm going to have them come up and sing a song with Tammy as they're coming. And I want to tell you this. Their family, when they were saved, their family was in sin. You know, living and doing things, and even coming from an abusive family, and they decided not to be a part of that anymore, and they left and didn't have anything to do with their family, and now their family's shunned them, and it's been just a hard situation on them. And so if you would keep them in your prayers, lift them up, and let them know that God's on their side. And sometimes that's, you know, persecution and separation from the world. You know, that's what it takes. They're living the real life, amen, and it's a tough journey. But I know God's able to help them. The native language in Kiana is Inupiaq, and the Eskimos don't speak it fluently. Only the elders still speak it. It's kind of a dying language. The kids in school don't learn it. You know, don't learn it to speak it. They just learn it to learn a few words. But they memorize songs like this and things like that. And so listen to them sing a little bit. They're going to sing the chorus in their language, and Tammy's going to help them. And I'm not. I mean, I'm not going to help.
This is one of our favorite Sunday school songs in the Kiana Baptist Junior Sunday School. And these ladies have helped teach the kids how to sing this. So we're going to sing one of our favorite Sunday school songs for you.
There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Ariga. Ariga, matnaru, His love, and the blessings that hallow our days, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. Amen. They get better every time, I think. Amen. Sounding good. But I'm glad they can sing that song from their heart and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I tell you, that's what it's all about, isn't it? And just never would have dreamed God shouldn't doubt God could do it, but put me in the equation. It's a wonder how anything gets accomplished. But God is able. God is able. Amen. He is truly wonderful. And I say again, we appreciate the church here at Fletcher First and all you all do, and appreciate the opportunity to share with you what God's doing in Cayenne. And we're excited to get back. We'll be going back in end of March, first week in April. We're scheduled to fly back up. And we're excited about that. And let's find our text here tonight in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I've had this passage on my heart. Can't get away from it. And it's been this way just about every church we go to. And it started tonight with the first song. Amen. That wonderful, marvelous grace. The grace of God. And you can't go wrong if you pick that topic, amen, and run to the cross. I mean, how can you miss with that, amen? But one of my favorite passages of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2, I've had a cold, I apologize, I'll probably be coughing and carrying on here, but I want to read verses 1 through 10. We've got maybe a little time here to take here in God's precious word. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If you would, bow your heads with me and help me pray as we look into this. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bow before your presence, Lord, just to ask you again for help. Lord, we need you as always, Father, to take over and take control. Father, as we hide behind the cross, I pray that the words we've read would minister to the hearts of the people here tonight. You know every need, every heart, every family, and every situation. Father, we commit these to you tonight, asking you to do what needs to be done. May the words come off the pages and into our heart, Lord, to make a difference. Lord, I pray that you help us preach with a demonstration of your Spirit and your power, Lord. It's so real. Lord, I thank you for this church, Lord, and Pastor Roy, and all those that have a part in the needs of the ministry here, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. Would you help us tonight? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Don't want to bark at you in this microphone, but God's going to help us here. We're going to need him, amen, to get through without doing that a lot. But what a great passage of Scripture here we found and have found here. And of course, it seems like every time I come to Fletcher, I preach to you about reading your Bibles. Amen. I hope you've been reading your Bibles, because that's important. Probably the most important thing that you can do in your life is get familiar with this book and understand what God has to say to you. And it ain't all just about reading, though. I'm learning that and finding out it's about meditating and thinking about what we are reading. Don't just read it to get through it, but read it to build your relationship with God Almighty, and because it's His book to you. And in this chapter that He's written to us, He's telling us about some things, and He's dealing with salvation. And I want to think about just the simplicity of salvation. How wonderful a thing it is to know that you're saved. And boy, I know there's many here saved tonight. Let's just dwell upon how good it is, amen, to be saved. And maybe there's one that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may not have a relationship with Him. It'd be a great time just to get it settled and start your life. Because your life has not started until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. These verses, I believe we can see some things here that take place, and it's all the work of God that's important here. Salvation. I mean, if you add anything at we battle that in the village, in many of the villages there, there's salvation by works. You have to be baptized. You have to do this, you know, where you can lose it. Or, you know, you have to keep up the good work and all these things. Well, salvation is not about us. It's not about you. It's about what God did for us. And as you think about that, the work that He did on the cross, none of us could have done that. None of us could have took His place, but He took my place and He took your place. And he did it where we have nothing to do with it. Well, that's a wonderful fact to stop and realize. And maybe just to help us understand that, this really helped me when I looked at this and saw this in this way. The first verse says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And even in the verse down there, He says it again. "Even when we were dead," in verse 5, "in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." That word "quickened," you know, means to make alive, like when you cut your fingernails to the quick, it hurts. You know you're alive, amen, and pain hurts. And you know that the word "quickened" means to make alive from death. Something was dead. What was dead? Paul said through here in this letter that we, the believers, this is written to the church, to believers, and you who once was lost, but now you're found. Once upon a time, you were dead. You were dead to God, dead in trespasses and sin. But you say, "Preacher, what does that mean? I'm alive and well, and I remember breathing, I remember doing this and being religious and all these things. What was dead? What happened?" Well, I think it's best understood if we go back to the beginning. We won't turn there, but in Genesis, you know the story. When God made Adam and Eve, and He made Adam and Eve to walk in the garden, communicating with God, walking in the cool of the day and talking and communing with God. What a special relationship they had. And God made Adam and Eve both. He made him with a body, He made him with a soul, and He made him with a spirit. Every human being is that way, by the way. There's no exemptions. There's no exceptions. Everybody's got a body, everybody's got a soul, and everybody's got a spirit. And God made the first Adam like that. And He made him with the body for a consciousness of this world. You know, I know you've heard this, but let's hear it again. The body's the house that you have everything in, and it gives you a worldly consciousness. You can go to Cayenne right now and you'll feel cold. Amen. Colder than here, but it is cold here too. But you understand that body is what God gave us to be aware of the world around us. Well, God gave us a soul. That soul contains your mind, your will, and your emotions, the heart, and all that is right there in the middle of the soul. And the soul never dies, but that soul gives you a consciousness of yourself, a self-consciousness. So you have your body to be aware of the world and your soul to be aware of yourself and the spirit. Adam walked in the cool of the day. He heard God. He could talk to God. He communicated with God because his spirit was alive and well. God made Adam with that spirit that bear witness with God himself in that day and time. But you know what happened? God gave a condition in the Garden of Eden. He said, "You can do anything, have anything you want, but one condition, you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." He said, "In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Well, you know Adam didn't die physically. He lived several hundred years later. So what died there in the Garden of Eden? I believe it was the spirit of Adam. It died. He died right then and there. God keeps his word. And God severed the communication that he had with Adam and Eve because of sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin caused Adam and Eve to be dead to God. They were afraid. They were ashamed. They went and hid themselves and covered themselves. But I'm glad the story doesn't stop there. God came to them, didn't he? Amen. He initiated the contact and the communication. God came to them and restored by the marvelous grace of God, made them coats of skins from those animals that shed blood, made them a parka of pardon, and restored their relationship. And they could then talk with God again and communicate with God. But their spirit was dead. That's what was dead in trespasses and sin. And now every human being that's ever been born, you've got a body, you've got a soul, and you've got a spirit. And every person here is aware of the world around us because of our body. Everybody here is aware of yourself, your mind, your will, and your emotions, what you think, what you feel, what you say. That's all from within. But here's your spirit. My friends, if you're dead in trespasses and sin, you cannot communicate with God. You may think you can. You may think you understand. You can't really understand this book. You can hear it. And you can go through the motions. You can have religion. And you can do all these things. But you're dead in trespasses and sin unless God has come by and quickened you and made you alive. And I could remember when I was dead. I was religious and a good old boy and went through all the motions and trying to preach, trying to sing, trying to be a deacon, trying to do all these things, but I never had peace in my heart. It wasn't until March the 14th in the year 2000, down in Myrtle, Mississippi, thanks to your pastor, taking us down there and hearing the Estes Perkle preach on hell. And I realized that I was lost and I was dead in trespasses and sin. And it was that day that he come over and began to work on me. And he brought to life that which was dead. My spirit was dead. I thought I was talking with God and walking with God and doing all the routines and rituals and going through all the right things. But I was dead in trespasses and sin. But oh, happy day when he saved my soul. And I've never been the same ever since that day. And it's been a journey that's been growing from getting to know him every step of the way. But friends, the work that he did for us on the cross at Calvary, the work that he did for us, I had nothing to do with it. Matter of fact, I was dead to it. Amen. We're all dead to it. If you're lost and you don't know God, you're dead in trespasses and sin. So every believer in here tonight, if you're a believer, then they ought to be a place in your memory, an event in your data bank or whatever it is, where you know that you once were lost. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But now you know you've come to life because of his work. Not your work, because of what he did. That's the grace of God. And it's sufficient for whatever you need after salvation too, by the way. We'll get there in just a moment. But every believer, I believe, ought to think back to the past and look at the work that God did for us when he quickened our dead spirits and we came alive and not only did he bring you to life, your dead spirit was quickened and made to life, but then he done a work in us. He not only did a work for us, but you see, he did a work in us. Let me skip down to verse 4. We know about sin and our life and all those things, but God, in verse 4, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Not only did he make us alive, but he came to live himself inside us. I don't understand all I know about that, but I believe what the Bible says. He quickened us together with Christ. And then he said that by grace ye are saved. There in your parentheses, by grace you are saved. Again, you had nothing to do with it. Substitute in your Bible. Try this sometime when you're reading and thinking, meditating. Every time you read the word grace, just read God's work. That's what God did. For by God's work are you saved. The grace of God, we could define it that way. I know there's wonderful definitions, but think of it that way just for the sake of this message, amen? And think about what God did for us on the cross. And then He's doing a work in us here. How does He do that? He didn't leave it up to us again. He didn't leave us here and with our body and our soul and our spirit. He didn't leave the old spirit here just to go on our own and do what we can. No, He's right there beside us. He's right there with us, there to take every step of the journey. Anywhere you go, anywhere He leads you, you don't have to do it alone. He's right there with you. He wants to continue doing a work in you. Every believer has a time in your past when you once were dead and you were quickened and made alive. Well, it's a fact in our lives that if you're still here tonight, and we are, amen, you're all here tonight, and you're saved, God's not through with you. He wants to do a work in you. He wants to do something. He wants to do something that you won't get over. Amen. Salvation's just the beginning. Salvation is so simple. Salvation is the starting point. Nothing else matters until salvation. But oh, once you're quickened, once you're made alive, once He comes in, that's when it all begins. And that's when it begins to be different and a new creature, new creation. Everything's new because He's right there with you, ready to do a work in us. The work of salvation is He done for us. The work of sanctification is the work that He does in us. And you know what it means to be sanctified? That means, best I can, one I like, the definition is set apart for God's use. That's pretty simple to understand, isn't it? God don't like to use dirty vessels, does He? God, I mean, He'll use anything. He'll use a hound dog under the church, amen, to get somebody's attention. A squirrel running through the church. God can use anything to get people's attention. But oh, it pleases Him when the born again Christian is right here beside this, and the Spirit of God is right there in him, and this spirit and this soul and this body surrender completely, 100% to whatever God the Spirit of God says from within. And from the book, and identifies with the book, and bears witness with the book, and the Spirit of God within every believer will lead and guide and direct and help you to be sanctified, so that He can do that work in you. You've got to surrender. You've got to yield. That's the key word, I believe, to this passage of Scripture, especially when we get to verse 10, is to learn to yield, because it's not up to us. I like to have my hands on, and you know, I got to have a part of it. I'm a hands-on person, you know. But this is hands off. God says, "I got this. I've done all that needed to be done on the cross. I paid the price that you owed. I took care of the penalty of sin for you when He died on the cross. But He's going to do a work in us, and He couldn't do that work if He is dead. He's alive. The gospel goes on to say He was buried, and on the third day He rose again. My Savior's alive. And not only is He alive in heaven and right here and everywhere, He's alive inside of me. And He's right there to lead me and guide me. And He's wanting me to get out of His way. Amen. The biggest problem I got is right here in the middle. It's my old soul, myself. And I want to be soul controlled. Letting me think what I need to do and do this and do that. But when I need to surrender and yield to the Holy Ghost and let Him minister to my spirit, because it's the spirit of man is the way, it's God's design. That's how you communicate with God. And if your spirit is in tune and your soul surrendered and your body is yielding to the things of God, then God can lead you and He can sanctify you and He'll do what needs to be done from within. And that's every believer. Every one of us are there tonight. If you're a believer, it's an ongoing work. Amen. For me, He's still working on me, the song says. And that's what it's talking about, sanctification. And I thought of this. We thought of this in Sunday school the other day. And somebody gave me a bottle of water. But to being filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't be scared of that. Amen. We need to let the Holy Ghost do His work in us. I mean, He's right here. You got all of God you could stand the very moment you got saved. When you were born again, He came to live inside of you, 100% God. Don't take a second work, don't take another notion or another prayer or a baptism or a, nothing else matters except that you believe, for by grace are you saved through faith. It doesn't say through this or through that work, through this addition. That frustrates the grace of God. It's by grace you're saved, and that's when God came to live inside of you. In the presence of the Holy Ghost is right there. And this bottle's not full. But it's like you're this is your body and your soul's in there and the spirit's in there, and that water, if it was full to the brim, you can't get no more God. You can't get no more God in there. But in Sunday school we use candy and M&Ms. That's sin. And it's wicked, amen. And if I dropped M&Ms and candy in here, if it was full, the water would run out, wouldn't it? There wouldn't be enough as much room in there. You see, and that's what God's sanctifying business is all about. The work He wants to do in us, He wants us to get rid of the M&Ms. He wants us to get rid of the candy. And because the less of ourselves and sin that we have inside there, it's like there's more room for Him. I mean, He's as big as He's ever going to get. And He's all of God that you'll ever have. But the problem is the sin in our life is hindering His sanctification process. His work that He wants to do in us. We got closets that we got the door shut. We got secret sins. We've got pet sins. We've got things that's just not pleasing to Him. And we're just as full of God as we want to be. If you get down to the nitty gritty here, you're just as full of God. Because I like M&Ms, amen. And I like candy. And sin is pleasurable for a season. But God says, you know, life would be so much better if you just let me get that out. If you just open up that door and let me clean out that room and clean out that closet and allow sin to not have rule in your life, because God is in you. He's saying, you know, the day I died on that cross, I paid for the penalty of that sin that you're hoarding up in your life. That sin that's hindering you, that sin that's keeping you from God's best, is keeping you from being sanctified. And when I died on the cross, I paid the price. I paid the penalty for sin. But the Holy Ghost doesn't stop there. You know what He's doing? He's telling you. He says, you know, I got up from the grave. I'm alive and well. And I gave you power over sin. Amen. We have victory over the power of sin because God Almighty lives in every believer. Excuse me. I mean, do we believe that God who defeated death, hell, and the grave is alive and well in your very being? He's there and He has victory. He's proven He's more powerful than death. He's alive. And He wants us to let Him sanctify us. He wants us to empty out all we got of ourselves. And if it's full of water, it's going to be full of water. But if there's other things in there, it just won't hold as much. So when you let Him sanctify you and clean up your life and do things, and this is the book, amen, that He goes by. When you go with a book and you let Him help you and sanctify you and clean you up, you get just as full of God as you possibly can. And then there may even be a little run over, man. There may be a little overflow and drinking out of the saucer. You know, you've heard that, amen. But oh, it's good when you get let God take control and take over and simply listen to Him and His leading. The work He did for us was on the cross when He paid and gave us victory over the penalty of sin. The victory He does in us is sanctification when He gave us victory over the power of sin. We don't have to be ruled by sin anymore. We don't have to keep them M&Ms in there. Only reason they're there is because you want them there. You love them more than God. If you want to be honest, you get rid of sin in your life. You get rid of things that's not pleasing. And it's a learning process. I've not arrived. I've not got the hang of all these things. But God's still working on me. And He's wants me to let go and hear again. Just get out of His way. And all it takes is listening to the man of God preach. These pastors are preaching to you and listening. You listen and be obedient and submissive and yield to the Holy Ghost from within. And there's no telling God what God would do with you and those around you. And it'd be wonderful when we let God do the work in us. That's the grace of God, not just for salvation, but for sanctification. And then there's the work in verse 10. I know I haven't read all my scripture again here, but let's read verse 8. Let me back up. We got to say this. In verse 6, He said He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According to that verse, best I can tell in the English, it means that we are already in heaven. We got a seat in heaven. Amen. In other words, the saved, if you're saved, there's nothing else that needs to be done for you to have a home in heaven. You didn't do anything to earn it to start with. What makes you think you got to keep doing something to hold your seat and to keep your seat? This verse is an ongoing verse and tells us that we're saved and we're always saved. And as far as God, and He, when He looks at it, He sees you already seated in heaven. And there'll be no sin in heaven, will there? There'll be no M&Ms in heaven. I don't know. There'll be no candy. You know, there'll be no sin in heaven. So how's that work? You got to understand this. We're not perfect. Amen. He didn't make a robot when He saved you. You're still a human being. You got this old body that likes this world and all the pleasures of the world. You got this soul that wants to lead itself and look in the mirror and you can see your biggest problem. I do every morning. This soul is your mind, your will and emotions, and that heart is right there in the middle to be a trigger. And it can either be triggered by the world and the devil around us or yourself, or you can let the Holy Spirit pull your trigger and point you to the things He wants and the way He wants you to go. But as far as God's concerned, you're already saved. You're sanctified even. No matter how much sin you still got in your life. I don't understand that, but I know I've got a home in heaven. Nothing else needs to be done. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And He's still working on me. But I know that as long as I get out of His way and trust in what He did for me, there's no way I can lose my home in heaven. As long as I trust in what He did for me, and then I'm trusting in what He's doing in me, continual process, whether I get fully surrendered and yielded to Him before He comes or not. Does that make sense? That's theological there. Amen. You got to think about that. I'm already saved, but He's still working on me. Why is that? Because He wants to do a work through us. He wants to, not only do He wanted to do the work for us on the cross, He wants to do the work in us and sanctifying us, but He's got a work to do through us. And He wants us to keep on letting Him sanctify us, because the work that He does through us is the service of God. When we do Him service, when we work for Him, you're a child of God, letting Him lead you and guide you. We have to, here again, surrender and yield. But we're already seated in heavenly places. So don't let the old flesh, this old body beat you down. Don't let yourself talk you out of stuff. The devil's a liar. He's a cheat. And he'll rob you and steal you out of victory. So many Christians are defeated because they think they ought to not think this. They ought to not say that. They ought to not do this. I messed up a bit. Hey, we're human beings. God made us that way, with a body, a soul, and a spirit. But if your spirit's been quickened and made alive, we got a home in heaven in spite of myself, in spite of all that I might do. But by God's grace, I'm gonna stop sinning. I'm gonna let Him clean me out and do all I know to do. And it's gonna be a continuous work, amen, because I'm not perfect, but He's gonna put up with me. I don't understand that, but I know He said it this way in verse 4, for His great love wherewith He loved us. That's the only explanation I got why He would put up with me, why He would let me go and do what I do and still put up with the things that I know I'm where He's working on me, amen. That's a process, but I've got a home in heaven. That's sanctification, because nothing unsanctified will be in heaven. That's His work when He does it in for us, and it's His work when He does it in us. And this work He does through us, verse 10. And I'll be through. For we are His workmanship. There it is. It's all Him again. Amen. Did you have anything to do with your salvation? Did you have anything to do with your sanctification other than yielding? Did you have anything to do with your service for Him? We're His workmanship. Quit. I don't want to say this because I'm a worrier. I say I don't worry, but I do. You know, but that's a sin. Amen. We ought not to worry. We ought to realize that God's got this, and He's able to help us serve Him in the capacity that He has called us to do and be and go and everything that we do. We got to stop and realize we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's all about works here. The works that we do, we're not working to get saved. We're not working to stay saved. We're working because we are saved. Amen? We got to stay with it. You got to know that. We are working because we're saved, and we're saved and appointed unto God to do good work, because He loves us and sanctified us and wants us to serve Him. And it's all on Him. Because this is where I get this, which God hath before ordained. Of course, He's already known. That's a whole other subject. But get this part, the last part of verse 10, that we should walk in them. He didn't say that you would, did He? See, you're not a robot. Every one of us have got plans. We got ideas. We got things that we want to do and we want to accomplish. But if we're not yielding to the Holy Ghost, if you're not yielding and submitting to Him, it may be coming from here, this old soul. It may be coming from the world. God help us. We're obviously aware of those things, and hopefully you're abstaining from all appearance of evil. But sometimes this old soul can lead you down the wrong path, and you may accomplish some good things. You may do some good works. You may serve God in a capacity that you're thinking is good and well and good. But here's the Spirit of God. Have you yielded to Him? Is the service that you're in, is the work that you're doing for God, you're His workmanship? Are you totally surrendered and yielded to Him? If not, you're missing out on God's best. And I'm learning this lesson, how to yield to Him in our service, how to yield to Him and letting Him do the work through us. And here again, just back up, because He's got this, amen? He can do it. He can do it better than I can do it. He can do it better than anything this world's got to offer. I mean, he's the bottom line. He is the ultimate answer to everything. Jesus is the answer, amen. And He lives right there with you. Don't neglect Him. How should we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He's right there, the Spirit of God, to lead us and guide us. We should be walking and doing these good works. We should be. But nobody's going to accomplish it to the capacity that God wants you, in the level that God wants you to get to. You won't do it unless you do it this way. And I try to say it this and get it right. But this is where you put your hands. You've got to buckle down. You've got to do all you can do. You've got to dig in. You've got to do absolutely, put all of your effort, all your abilities, all your talent, everything you've got. You've got to put everything of your abilities in this very thing right here. Do this one thing and you'll be all right. Do all that to make every effort you can to yield. Just to get out of the way. I mean, all you got, just put it all in to yielding. And you'll see Him take over and take control. And you just thought getting saved was good, amen. When you learn to yield and get out of His way, it's like getting saved all over. It's a supernatural miracle when the God of heaven comes to live inside of a life that was dead and trespasses and sin, and He's quickened me and made you alive, and now He's there. And not only that, but He wants to show you how to live the best, most exciting, awesome, adventurous life that you could ever imagine or think. But so many are just leaving God out of it. And they think, I've got this, I'm going to do it this way. You may say, well, this is what the Bible says. Now listen, you know, the Bible, I've got a Bible in chapter and verse, but you better have it rightly divided. You better be following the Holy Spirit, because the devil can be an angel of light. Amen. And he can take God's word and twist it. First time we hear from him, what's he doing? Yea, hath God said. You better be careful when you're reading through your Bible. You better be meditating. You better be thinking about what God is doing from within. Because the Spirit of God will bear witness with what's read to you. And you hear it and you learn it and it's preached to you. The grace of God. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. The wonderful, marvelous grace of God. It's His work. It's the work of God. Anywhere you point, anywhere you look, let Him take over and take control in your life. And your life will never be the same. I believe I can honestly say that. And I know Pastor Roy knows that and experiences that. And many of you here, Pastor Gunn. And oh my goodness, what a great day it is when you learn to surrender 100%. And you put all your effort into just letting Him have His way. And then, of course, he'll tell you when to step up and when to do this and when to do that. But it's sweet when you're doing it in a spirit-controlled life, not soul-controlled and not worldly-controlled, but walk in the spirit that you not fulfill the lust of this old flesh. That's the only way it's going to happen, when you yield to him and let go and let him do what needs to be done. He did a work for us on the cross. He's continuing a work in us in sanctification. And he wants to work through us when we get into serving him. Amen. What a great Savior we have. Praise the Lord. Pastor, will you come at this time? That's all I've got. Thank you, church, again. Thank you so much. Amen.
Everyone stand. Brother David, I don't think a word needs to be added to that clearly illustrated message from God's Word. So simple. Of course, you have to be yielded. You have to, within your heart. Song we heard this morning, the last song they sang, special song, more like Jesus. Within your heart, you have to desire to be more like him. And if you have that desire, he will help you. None of us here can do it within yourself. It's not in you, Brother David said. Not in you, not in me to do it. But we can yield to him and let him do it. And even your flesh doesn't want to do that. But when you want to be more like Jesus, within your heart, help will come. Your heads are bowed. Please come and sing that song again if you could. You sang this morning, more like him, that last song. Altar's open. You may be like Brother David said he was several years ago, going through the motions. I talked to Brother David, and he had struggled, and he wasn't saved. And I said, why, David? I tried to talk him out of it. Shame on me. The Holy Spirit's the one doing the leading, and I thought he just messed up. But I was the one messed up. God was dealing with him to get saved, and then he got saved. What a change that we see. You may be like that too, going through the motions. Try to yield but can't. Why? He told us why. Dead. Your heads are bowed. Lord Jesus, thank you for the message. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for the word of God that was able to instill in Brother David the desire to learn more about you so you could help him preach this message. Now, Lord, here we are, and we're needy. As we listen to the song, Father, as we yield ourselves to you to do a work within us that only you can do, but we have to yield. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Altar's open. God's dealing with hearts tonight. Brother David said we're not perfect yet, full of all kind of mistakes. Don't have to be. He wants to help us. He paid the penalty for it. We have to accept him. Go ahead.
Lord, I know when you saved me, you filled me with your spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh precious Lord, to be a light that others see, Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like you. Now when your light, Lord, shining upon me. There's no hiding its wonderful glow. My family and children, my neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, then all others will know. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Now shine down upon me and fill me anew. In every way, Lord, let me be more like you. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? And shine down upon me and fill me
of God, the Spirit of God, through the preached Word of God. Thank God, thank God. Still room for improvement every day. Lord, give us a desire. The songwriter said a desire to be more like you. Take care of about 99% of the problems. If you have that desire, then you'll confess those sins. And you say, well, I don't have any. Well, we may not think it, but ask Him. Ask Him to search your heart. He may find something there that's so covered up you don't even know it's there. But He does. He wants to tell you about it if you really want to be more like Him. Brother David, we have enjoyed this time with you and the precious family. And now we're going to enjoy helping them financially. Miss Shirley, come ahead. The ushers are going to get ready to come, and the evening offering will all go to Brother David ministry. Can you imagine $10 for a head of cabbage? I don't know what Sandra and I paid for the last one we got. Probably around a dollar. Boy, it's good, too. Can you imagine what a $10 head of cabbage would taste like? Most of us wouldn't pay it and couldn't afford it, Miss Shirley.
I've tried every way in the world to get out of doing this. But God has laid a burden on my heart for the last 3-4 weeks. And He's told me to come up here and take a stand. And I begged Him not to make me do that. But I've got a granddaughter that's 23 years old that they found something in her spine before she was born. First thing they started talking to my daughter about was throwing these options out. And my daughter looked and said, there is no options. I've got 5 great-grandbabies born at 3 at 34 weeks, 2 at 31. They're babies, folks. They are alive. And God has told me to take a stand against abortion. And I'm taking that stand, and I think it's murder.
Sure.
And I cannot stand to think of a baby born full term laying on a table. making it comfort till the mama decides what to do with that baby. That's God's choice. That's not mine or that mama's or anybody else. God gives life and yeah. He takes it. Not you, me, or anybody else. And I'm taking a stand tonight.
Yes.
I am against what this country, what New York, what they have done and paraded it throughout the city. Yes. I'm taking a stand. I'm against that, folks, tonight. God made me publicly
Amen.
Do that.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Often you... And I ask the question, how could anybody do that? Take a baby after it's born or even in the mother's womb, kill it. And we found out the answer. Romans chapter 1 turns them over to reprobate mind and they have no reason left. And once he turns them over, reprobate mind, too late. But there's a lot of people that haven't been turned over yet. Let's pray for them. Pastor, you're going to come and we're going to pray. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Miss Shirley. We stand against killing babies. We preached last Sunday night. The title of the message was Killing Babies. You know who kills babies? Baby killers. Don't self-shoe it. Anybody kill a baby in the womb is a baby killer, a murderer. It's what God said. You said they'll come against you. They may. That's okay. They're still murderers. But God forgives. But then that same crowd is also for homosexuality. You say, well, they're not homosexuals. No, but the Bible says in Romans, if they push it and believe in it and support it, they too be turned over a reprobate mind. Scary thing. That means no reason, no ability to reason. We heard what God would do through the Word of God tonight. He'll save you. He'll seal you. He will. In Romans chapter 1, he will do that too. It ain't a thing anybody can do about it. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you, Father, that we realize and know you're soon coming. And help us as believers to accept, acknowledge, and be about your business in these days. As Miss Shirley said, Lord, there's a world of sin out there. And we can't stop it, but you can. Is anything too hard for God, you said? No, it's not. And help us to get ourselves out of the way so we can be full of the Holy Ghost and proclaim and do and be a bright and shining light in these last days before you come. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Lord, bless the offering, those that can give. And I pray, Father, that you'll just increase it. Realize things are mighty expensive up there. But Father, you're able. You own the cattle on a thousand hills, and you own the hills. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.